Welcome to Extraordinary Entrepreneur Radio, where we discuss the messy behind the scenes of entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Maggie Isley, and with me today is Lindsay Hale. Lindsay's an Enneagram coach and a mother of five, so she's pretty badass. All right, and I'm here with Lindsay. Lindsay, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, thanks for having me, Maggie. I'm an author and a speaker and an Enneagram coach. That's what I do for fun. I actually have a daytime job, which is kind of funny because it was a side gig when it started. But I lead a team of about 5,000 women with a company called 31. A lot of people.
Oh my gosh. That's so many women.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
So through that, I got really interested and really excited about learning all about personalities and personality tests. And, you know, I did DISC and I did Strength Finders for a while. And then I found the Enneagram and just totally fell in love with it. And people started coming to me really frequently asking me questions about Enneagram. So I was like, you know what? I think this is like, I just love doing it. So I decided to go get certified to be a coach. And so I literally just started my coaching. I wrote a book back in May of 2019, I guess, was when it was published. And then through that, like kind of started coaching and then really decided to do the Enneagram thing. And it has just been like, it's exploded and it's so much fun. But I also have five kids. So I'm married to my sweetheart and I have.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we're busy around here.
I bet. Oh my gosh. Five kids and all of those women reporting to you. That's a lot.
Well, the women, they don't report a lot to me because they know I don't really do drama very much. So
yeah. they're going to have to sort it out.
They really are. Yeah. No. So I don't have to like manage them. I lead them and it's just totally different than having to manage people. I show up, I encourage them, I support them, but I don't have to show up and
do anything
there than being a manager. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. Yep. That's fantastic. So the reason that I had asked you here today and you graciously accepted was to talk about Enneagram stuff. So let's go. So I'm so excited because I know a lot of the listeners are really into Enneagram. And what I love is the overlap. So there is a little of overlap and I wanted to discuss if you see it and if you don't see it. So that way we can go at that angle with the archetypes.
Yes.
Because I haven't talked about archetypes much on my podcast, but I talk about it a lot with my clients and in my Facebook group.
Yeah. So I want you to give me like the 101 because I did some reading, but okay. since your audience isn't super familiar, then I guess I'm learning with them.
Okay. So podcast listeners, if you are not in the group, you need to get there and then you can watch some videos on it. But here's the quick and dirty on it. Mm-hmm. We have 12 different archetypes. So that's the first difference, right? Because there are nine Enneagrams. Yeah,
nine Enneagram types.
So that's the first difference. And then you're looking at, and actually I will almost always forget all of them. Like I forget at least two every time. So we have, I will forget at least two. So we have the Explorer. And the Explorer is really about like independence and pushing the boundaries and going outside of the norms. But they have a lot of challenges, like they're going to become aimless, or they can become aimless because they're so focused on going outside of what's expected that they can just wander. So we have the Sovereign. Sovereign, you're thinking of the Rolls-Royce, right? Like that's sovereign, that's sovereignty. And okay, that would be your brand or person who's worried about rank, tradition, nobility. They tend to become a little bit more disconnected from reality, okay, because obviously that's not the everyman, right? Mm-hmm. But the everyman or the citizen is another archetype. So your citizen archetype would be like Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec, right? Yeah. That's your citizen. It's every person. They care about everything, and they care about everything a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And their big downfall is that they do care so much, and they care so much about everything that they can fall into that paralysis of not getting things done because mm-hmm. they just care about everything.
Yeah.
So we have the sage, which is Yoda, right? I mean, the sage would be the guide in the hero story. So that's your sage.
Uh-huh.
We have the rebel. You know, rebel's going to be a leader. They don't necessarily need to be a bad leader. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't necessarily need to be that, like, in-your-face swearing type of person, but they can be.
Huh?
They just have to have out-of-the-box ideas in the fact that they are, like, pushing the envelope. We have magicians. Now, magicians, there are sub-archetypes as well, but magicians are either spiritual in nature or they can be scientific in nature. So they are looking at things really almost mystical. Tesla would be a magician, but also Willy Wonka is a magician.
Oh, okay.
So those are examples of the magician type of archetype. Lovers are the next archetype. And lover doesn't necessarily mean Victoria's Secret, although that is a lover archetype.
Uh-huh.
Lovers are also sensual. So it's Godiva, that decadence,
okay.
that just appreciation for all your senses,
uh-huh.
the smell, the taste, all of that is a lover, that really, really deep and rich appreciation is okay. a lover. Jester is my archetype, and that's a Tina Fey. That is the Geico insurance commercials.
Yeah.
That's just that fun lens.
Fun.
And the big question there is, are they going to be taken seriously? So that's where jesters kind of walk a line. You need to make sure that you temper a jester. So innocence next. An innocent would be like Johnson & Johnson. Aveeno.
Okay.
That's your innocent.
Uh-huh.
They're very wholesome and good, and they can be perceived as naive even if they aren't. But they just want to see the best in people.
Okay.
Hero would be another archetype, and that can be different forms. Nike is a hero brand. They want to challenge people to be better, but also in a hero brand or a hero person, it can be a superhero. It can be Superman.
Okay. Okay.
It can be that kind of, it has so many different forms.
It can be a hero, but it can be more of just that strength.
It can literally just be like empowering people to be amazing, can be a hero. And then the creator. So a creator is exactly that. They are an artist. They create. Lego is a creator brand.
Mm-hmm.
So they are pushing, Adobe is a creator brand. They are pushing people to create things, or they are creating things. And when they don't create, they get very depressed, or when they have bad feedback, their biggest fear is mediocrity mm-hmm. or disappointing a customer or a client.
Okay.
That's a creator. And I, for example, have like a creator offering because I do design as well.
Huh?
And when I am in creator mode on that side of me, like with an Enneagram wing, when I use my creator mode, I get so bummed when I get bad feedback. But once I became aware of it, you can temper it better when you become aware of these archetype trends.
Yeah.
And then the final one, the 12th, is a caregiver. So a caregiver is more Johnson & Johnson, if I'm being honest, because that is a maternal. Now, it doesn't have to be maternal, but it is often viewed as maternal because it can be a nursing type of a archetype. It's mm-hmm. someone who really values caring for their clients or caring for somebody. And it's off of self and on service is really what that archetype is all about. It's someone who just wants to help other people, and they're very prone to burnout.
Okay.
That's the biggest problem there.
So interesting, because so as you were saying those, I was like writing what you were saying and then writing down some of the commonalities between numbers. So I tested as a caregiver when I took your assessment, and I'm actually an Enneagram 7, which would fall more in line with what you described as the explorer or even the jester. So where I don't think that I'm really funny. Well, wait, that's wrong. I am funny. If people don't think I'm funny, then I don't trust them. But I'm not a comedian. I'm just more of a smart ass, like totally different.
That's how I am too. I'm both of those things. I'm like, I'm hilarious, both conversationally and on purpose. Like, I'm both those things.
Right. I always tell people that I went to, this is totally like side story, but my friend and I went, for my 40th birthday, I went to go get a tattoo. I went to go get a tattoo covered up, actually. One that I got when I was like 17. And so I went
have
in
one
there
of those.
And I mean, everybody, listen, it's like the best advice anybody could have ever given me is don't get a tattoo when you're 17.
Don't do it.
You're going to cover it up. Okay.
Don't do it. Mine's a tramp stamp.
And I was making jokes and the guy was so serious. And he was like, you know, schedule my appointment to come back. And my friend goes, I don't think that he thought you were very funny. And I was like, I know. And now I'm not going to hire him because I don't trust him.
Right.
Like he wouldn't laugh at me. So I was like, you're not allowed to put ink on my body. I'm sorry.
Right. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, like if you can't make a joke, I don't like you.
So for the Enneagram numbers, though, this was super interesting as you were talking, because there was a one that I felt like every number fell into except the type one. So let me go through for the people who aren't familiar with Enneagram, just kind of the overall arching themes. So the type one is the moral perfectionist. So some people like to call them the reformer. And I think that that's a more positive way to look at them, because to me, perfectionist almost has like a negative connotation. Reformer means that you always can tell that something needs to be just a tiny bit better. Like there's always room for improvement. So ones are always trying to make the world better, like just one step better, which I suppose that kind of falls under the caregiver.
That could also be a citizen. It has citizen undertones to it, because like Leslie Knope is always trying to make the world better. That can be a citizen.
Okay. Okay.
Now, a lot of people call the citizen the everyman, and I don't, because these are Jungian, Carl Jung. That's where these archetypes started as the 12. Okay. So his original name for it was the citizen. Well, in German. Yeah. But that's where, and then people call it the everyman to help people understand that it's not just about helping out around town, you know? But that can very much be a citizen.
Okay. So that makes sense then.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that the citizen or the everyman was more like the type two, who is like the supportive advisor. So that also would fall under maybe where the caregiver is.
Yeah.
And I even wrote it down for the wholesome or innocent, whichever one you said there.
Innocent is wholesome.
Innocence. Yeah. Because twos can be very, almost like flighty, because they're just so happy to show up and help everybody. They're just like, here to help. I'm just here to help.
That's a very innocent tendency, where they're just so, we have a, and I don't think she listens to the podcast, but she's in my group, who tested as an innocent. And she, I'm going to post this in the group too, so that way she can hear it.
Okay.
She tested as an innocent, and that's exactly who she is. She's always like pleasant and very flighty and very like, and she jokes a lot too. So she probably has like a 7 wing to her, because she's so fun. And so she's an artist and she's just very fun.
So yeah, twos are very relational. They, everything revolves around relationships for twos. So that's a really important place for them to be. and they are super afraid of being rejected or unwanted. So they show up okay. and they do and serve so that they can elevate themselves, so that they're needed and wanted. And so that's kind of how they'll show up. Now, the threes I had a hard time placing for you too. I put them under the lovers because threes are kind of known for being like very put together. They are known for being able to morph into whatever they need to be to walk into a crowd of people and just be who they need to be in that moment. So they, their biggest fear is being exposed or thought of as incompetent or unsuccessful. So people call them the successful achiever, but okay. really, it's not that they're being fake or that they want to run anybody over. It's just that achieving or even just being accomplished is just really important to them. So that can look different. That could be like, I'm the better spouse, so they're going to mm-hmm. show up and be the best spouse possible. Or they could be super competitive in sports. They're almost always very put together outwardly. Like they always look the part, and they always are kind of more, just like a little more refined than everybody else.
That's but interesting.
Here's the crazy thing about threes is that they are into detail, but they will take shortcuts. And typically they're the ones who show up and you think that they're very poised and put together until they let you see the real side of them. And then they usually have like some kind of dark, mysterious side to them that you're like, whoa, I didn't know you had that there.
That's interesting.
The little facade going on. So that's, threes are like my people. I love to be around threes. And I think it's because threes trust me, because I am really authentically just who I am, and I don't care how they show up.
Yeah.
So I find a lot of threes kind of gravitate toward me, and I gravitate toward them because I like them. I like to get past that, however they're showing up. So.
See, and what's interesting is I feel like that could be, so each archetype has a sub archetype, as uh-huh. as I mentioned. And the creator archetype has an entrepreneur underneath it.
Mm.
And I feel like that would be a sub archetype within there.
So that's interesting because when you're talking about Enneagram and you talk about wings, your wings need to be adjacent, right? So like if you're a three, okay. you either have a four or a five wing.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the four is what I put under the creator, because the four is, they're known as the romantic individualist. So they tend to be like, if I had to draw a picture of someone who was an Enneagram four, you might draw a picture of like Violet from The Incredibles.
Yes.
Almost yeah. kind of gothic looking. But, mm-hmm. but that's not really what a four is, but that's kind of how they're portrayed, is this, they have a dark side to them, but there's like all this emotion just trapped inside of them. And they just are constantly swimming in emotion, and they see beauty in like the everyday things. So they're very artistic, very creative, big creators. Like they, but their biggest, so this is the interesting thing about them, is that they see beauty in all the small things, but they think that they're so different from everyone else and that they never really feel like they fit in.
I have a friend who, when I told her I was coming on with you, like I told her 10 minutes before I was getting on with you, mm-hmm. and she sent me a text then. And that's what I was checking a moment ago. And it said, I'm a four wing three. And you just explained her to a T on both the four and the three.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's her. She's a museum curator.
Oh yeah.
And she, that's her to a T. Like she has literally snow white skin, jet black hair with a little bit of a green tint to it. Like that's her yeah. to a T.
Yeah.
So as you're explaining her, I'm like,
perfect.
That's her.
That's so funny because she's an art curator, and like you have to be so detail oriented for that, but then you also have to understand and be creative. So where like Enneagram type one is really known for being detail oriented, and a three can be very like detail focused, but it's just a completely different, like a one is not super creative typically. They're very spreadsheet oriented, where the three would have like that, you know, we're going to get this done and we're going to do it the right way. But with that four piece, it's going to make that creative.
Yeah. Well, she started off as a design student and then pivoted into the museum world. And now she has her master's in museum studies, and that's what she does.
Oh my gosh. Design is like, so
that's where she started.
If you're on Enneagram 4, design is the worst possible world for you.
And she left. Yeah. She left and went into museum.
Oh my gosh. I was a graphic designer. I actually worked for a museum as a graphic designer. How funny is that?
That is funny.
So I hated it because, well, you know this, like you create something and then you give it to somebody and then they're like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. And then I hear design.
Really? Well, so I'm an Enneagram 7, and I just don't like to be told what to do. So I'm like,
I have serious defiant disorder. That's what I tell people. Like, I have defiant disorder. If you tell me what to do, I'm just going to be like, I don't want to do that now. Like, you have to like suggest it to me ever so slightly, like, and nudge me in that direction. Because I'm just going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, you said you tested as an 8, which makes sense. We'll get to that one in a moment. So an Enneagram 6 is, so this one totally fit your hero. The Enneagram 6 is nicknamed the Loyal Guardian.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a hero.
So the interesting thing about a 6, though, is that 6s are known for being extremely fearful. But at the same time, outwardly, they look super brave and they're known for being like loyal and honorable, but they are the ones who kind of forecast all the worst possible case scenarios. Mm-hmm. So look at your dog.
Yeah. For podcast listeners, I have my dog on my lap. They've barked in the podcast. They've done all kinds of things.
Oh, funny. Okay, so then there's the Enneagram 7, who is the entertaining optimist. So 7s are known for being joyful and enthusiastic, and they're really social. So everybody says that nobody really likes their Enneagram type except 7s. 7s are like the only type that are like, yay, I'm a 7, because 7s are just happy.
And that's how I thought I was going to be a 7. I was so shocked when I wasn't. I was like, hello, because
fun. There's a strong possibility that you have that way, right? So,
yeah, I was like, I'm so fun. I should be a 7. And then I got an 8. I was like, okay, well, whatever. I was like, it's fine. Who am I to tell my personality what it is?
So. Well, and you and I were talking about this before we hopped on here, but it's really common for people to take an assessment and for it to be wrong, because there's so much that we want to be, or people tell us that we are. Mm-hmm. And so that's the big thing about the Enneagram, is that it's not about behavior. It's about self-awareness, and it's about what your core fears and desires are. So you and I could show up and do the exact same thing for a completely different reason. So I might make a joke because I want everybody in the room to be happy, but a type six might make a joke because they're super insecure and they're looking for some security. So the outcome, or what you're looking for from it, is completely different.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the Enneagram 8, which is what you typed as, is called the protective challenger. So their core fear is being weak, powerless, harmed, or controlled, and they do not like to be vulnerable, and they're really afraid of being betrayed.
That's me. That's so me, because if you tell me what to do, I just won't do it. I literally just won't do it. Yeah. But yet I have 2 coaches, and I also coach. So it's interesting.
Well, it makes sense that you coach, because you know the right way to do it.
Well, of course I do.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Have you met me? Of course I know the right way to do
it. Right. And I'm a 7 wing 8, and outwardly people tell me a lot that so I had a hard time figuring out my Enneagram type, because so many people were telling me, you're an 8, you're totally an 8. And really, when it came down to it, as I learned more, I was like, oh my gosh, no, I do behave like an 8 in some instances, but I care deeply what other people think about me, and 8s don't. 8s do not
care. Oh yeah, I'm not. I don't care. I don't care.
I totally care.
No, I don't.
I will tell you what I think all day long, but then if it makes you mad, I'll be like, oh my gosh, don't be mad at me. Can we still be friends? Like, don't be upset with me. And Enneagram 8 is like, whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
Yeah.
And yeah, my, like, I care if you are, if you live in this house, I care a lot, and I will never be mean to be mean. But if the truth hurt you, then I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's different. I will never be mean to be mean. That's mm-hmm. not my thing. But if the truth hurts, then that's a problem with you and you should address that. And if you'd like me to help you address that, I will gladly do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, if I'm being mean to you, well, I'm sorry. You could tell me that and we'll see if it's something that's true or subjective.
Right.
Like, and yeah. then we can address it from there. But yeah,
that is totally, the other thing, like with the 7 and the 8 that I think are big differences is that, like, with a 7, I don't feel like I need to be in control, but I don't want to ever feel trapped. And with an eight doesn't feel like they have to be in control. They just want control. So it's different. Like, they don't show up and say, like, I have to be the leader here, but yeah, they want to have a say. So it's probably why you work well with coaches, because you show up and you're like, I have the control to say, I want you to tell me what to do.
Right. I'm very picky on who I work with because of that. But like, once I choose who I work with, I have no problem being told what to do from who I chose. But I have a problem when someone tells me that I have to choose them. Like, if someone asks for a sale, you will not get a sale from me. But if you lead me into a sales conversation, I will gladly close. But you can't ask me for a sale. I will never give it to you.
Right. Yeah. No, that's very 8. You are definitely an 8.
Yeah, I do not.
Everybody wants to be a 7.
I would love to be a 7. That's because that's so my Enneagram. Like, I am so, I don't know what I just dropped. Everybody on the podcast, I just dropped something. But I'm so like a 7 in my personality as far, or not a 7, I'm sorry, a jester in my personality, that I was like, surely I'm a 7. But no, you're right. I'm very much an 8.
So 7s are not always funny. They are always joyful and happy. A lot of times you're going to see like more of the joking, the jokesters being the 6s are very witty. And actually 8s and 6s can be mistyped pretty frequently, because 6s tend to be like, there's two kinds of 6s. There is a big discussion where people have said before there should be 10 Enneagram types, because 6 has what's called a phobic and a counterphobic type. So if you're a phobic type, then you are scared of everything, like just kind of always nervous, always kind of jittery, sort of standoffish. And if you're counterphobic, you kind of charge forward through your fears of, yeah, like, I'm just going to face them and go forward. The reason there aren't 10 types is because the core fear is the exact same, whether you're phobic or counterphobic. It's just that your behaviors are different. So,
okay, that's awesome.
So, but a lot of times 6s are the funny ones. They can be kind of pessimistic, which is not like a 9 or an 8. I mean, but that's really the big difference, is the 8s aren't afraid of anything. 6s act because they're afraid of it. And it's almost like they're testing their limits. Like, let me see if I can do that. 8s do more because they want more intensity.
Yeah. I do things because like I know what my goal is.
Yeah.
Like, so I need to do that then. Like, that's the outcome I want. So then I have to act like this to get to that outcome.
Yeah.
Like that's that. So definitely. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Cool. So the last one that I haven't told you yet is the type 9. Poor 9s. They're always last and they don't care. They are the peaceful mediators. They're thoughtful, reassuring, accommodating. They're super wise. Those are probably your sage or your Yoda.
Yeah. That's my,
like that warm place to land. Everybody's going to go there. But the thing with the 9s also, the place they struggle the most is that they don't believe that what they have to say or do is all that important. It doesn't really matter. The crazy thing is it matters a ton because they're mm-hmm. super wise, but they'll often withhold or withdraw their feelings or or emotion because, number one, they don't want conflict. They don't want to challenge anyone, but they just don't think that it's that important. They just don't think they matter.
Oh, that's so a bummer. Sad. That's a bummer.
It's like, a bummer.
Poor nines.
I know.
I don't want nines to come to me because I'll be mean to them.
You know what though? Nines have a one wing or an eight wing, and those are both really strong wings. So while nines kind of come, if you just look at the nine by itself without its wing, you might be likely to think that they're kind of pushovers. And if they're not healthy, then they can be pushovers. But a nine with an eight wing can, like, that's their nickname is the bear. I mean, they can really like get after it. And my husband is a nine with an eight wing, and sometimes he scares me, like, because you don't expect it, and all of nowhere, yeah, he just kind of bites, and you're like, whoa,
like, relax.
Very controlled and methodical, and they are definitely like a take charge personality. So the nines do okay for themselves. You don't have to.
That's good. 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 That's awesome.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of overlapping, and like, I'll be interested to see what some of your listeners think, because
yeah,
you know, them knowing a little bit more about both Enneagram and the archetype will be really interesting to see how many sort of cross over each other. Did I talk about the fives, or did I totally skip them? I think I skipped the fives.
Did you?
Yeah, the fives are the thinkers. They are.
Oh, yeah, I think you skipped them.
I totally did. I think that because they fall under what I would think. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, fives. They would fall. They're called the investigative thinker. That's what I have written down for the sovereignty on yours.
Oh, yeah, you did skip them.
I did. Gosh, sorry, fives. So they're very typically very introverted, very withdrawn, love to study, to gather knowledge, they're innovative, very innovative. But they do tend to remove emotion from everything. So they will attach their emotion to what they know, more so than who they know. And while they're actually super friendly and can be very witty, and sarcasm is like a superpower of the five, but a lot of times it goes over people's heads because they're super intelligent, and people are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So
I personally run into my sarcasm is, maybe I'm just mean. That's probably me because I'm an eight. Like,
you know, but this is what is so exciting and fun about the Enneagram, is it's got so many depths and layers to it. And so the type eight, so every type has a type that they go to in stress and in growth. And the type eight actually uses the five when they are stressed or when they are in their biggest growth pattern. So it doesn't surprise me that you have a lot of sarcasm behind you, because when you're stressed, you probably use sarcasm to deal with it.
Yeah, so, I'm very sarcastic. So that makes a lot of sense.
You are in your like super healthiest point, you would actually, an eight goes to two in a growth spot. But when you're in your healthiest point, you can use like all of the good parts of the eight, the five, and the two all at once. The two is the helper. So
that's fun.
It is fun.
Oh my gosh. So tell us what you have going on. This podcast is going live on the 25th of September.
Okay.
So you have, of September 2020, I should say, because who knows when you're listening to this, listener.
Right.
So you have, starting Monday.
On Monday, yeah, the 28th, I have a workshop. It is a workshop for women, and it's all about just really helping women use the Enneagram to overcome fear, obligation, and guilt. So the acronym for fear, obligation, and guilt is FOG. So if you think about it, it's really just that exact thing of like standing in a heavy, thick fog and not knowing where to go. And I really teach you how to use the Enneagram to be that tool to help you get rid of the fear, obligation, and guilt and start to step forward. and recognizing some of the stress patterns and growth patterns in your life, and just start to make decisions out of passion and purpose and energy and really get unstuck.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So where can they find you? We'll put your links in the show notes, but real quick, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. First and foremost, the easiest place to find me is at my website, which is lindsayhale.org. And then I can be found in my Facebook group is Enya Girls. So it is women focused.
So fun.
Just a lot of women in there just talking about the issues that women face all the time. A lot of motherhood talk,
especially
right now with COVID.
And everyone having their kids home or barely having them gone.
Yeah. So if people who are listening are really struggling with kids at home, with e-learning and all of that, one of the things I love about these live workshops is being able to just be intuitive and to teach around what people are struggling with. And that seems to be the common denominator right now. So we'll definitely be talking about that.
That's the best part of doing something live is you can actually teach to what people need.
Absolutely.
It's so important. So that's awesome. I will be there for the workshop. So because I am already in the group. So
good. I'm glad. I can't wait.
I will be there.
When I do like a more formal, like laid out training for you to come back and be like, hey, this is how these two overlap. I love that we
like made this. Right. I'm so excited. So listeners, I'm going to drop all her links in the show notes. So make sure you grab them. And then we will be back. We being me, because sometimes I'm talking to myself and sometimes I have a guest. We will be back again next week.